B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
So you mentioned happening right down the street.
Golf.
TPC, right?
Didn't even know that.
I got a good story for you.
What do you got?
You want a good story? You want a feel-good story, Hardy?
Let's do this.
Want a feel-good story over there?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
All right.
Thank you, Gordy.
He's an old man. He loves story time.
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah?
Has been hitting the casino here in town frequently over the last week. He's found that he really likes the Encore. So much so that last weekend on consecutive nights, he left tips for the staff at the Encore in excess of $70,000 the first night, in excess of $170,000 the second night, and then last night left another tip in excess of $150,000.
Okay, so I'm going to defer to our resident gambler. Hardy.
Oh, B-Rob?
Hardy, how much do you have to be winning? Like, you know, if you do, you had a good day playing, you know, video poker.
Right.
On your way out, you know, you tip someone. Like, you've got to be raking.
Sitting at the bar, you hit a $4,000 royal flush, you're playing dollar video poker, I'd slide the bartender $400. 10%. 10% of the jackpot. That's a nice tip.
Man.
So I don't know that he now that's for me. I think that's being pretty generous, because who knows what you're in for at that point. It may have cost you $2,000 to win that $4,000, but, you know, what do you think Brooks Koepka won? He may have only won 100.
I don't think he was tipping on the percentage of his winnings. I think he was.
It's tough to imagine.
I think out of the goodness of his heart,
right,
during a tough time for some people, and
yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Casino workers were out of work for some time, and I know they were taken care of during that time, but, you know, now they're getting back to working, and those dealers are sometimes tipped, right?
But they have to stay. They split it. They all split it.
On those nights, those three nights that he made these massive kind gestures at the Encore this week, the people working on the casino floor are typically making anywhere from $25 to $37 an hour in base pay. Their wages that night went to $50 in the three nights consecutively, $50, $88, and about $80 an hour last night because of his generosity.
Because they're pooling tips.
Yes, they pool the tips for everyone who's working.
Now, here's the interesting story about Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
He withdrew from the tournament. He's not playing.
Oh, yeah, he just likes it here. I mean, the weather's been great.
It's been great.
It's been a really nice week. He likes the Encore, apparently.
What is today? The 21st?
Nice.
The 21st?
Today's the 21st.
Okay. At 11:17 a.m. on August 19th, the PGA Tour tweeted, Brooks Koepka has withdrawn from the Northern Trust due to injury. He will not advance to the BMW Championships. His season is effectively over. Here it is, 2 days later. He might be there right now.
He goes, well, the hell with it. I'm going back to the Encore. I like that place.
Is this girlfriend,
probably got a hell of a room there.
Is this girlfriend, right? Jenna Sims?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know much about him.
The Barstool guys are retweeting this. Yeah.
So Jim
retweeting
Murray's,
what?
He's commenting on her posts. So I don't know if they're together. They're checking in on Brooks Koepka.
What are you saying
PFT
right now?
Commentator.
What are we talking about?
PFT
what?
Commentator.
What are they retweeting? Him comment? Oh, is that his girlfriend?
That's supposedly his girlfriend.
Holy smokes.
And
what's
she
her
said
name?
Georgia, Jenna Sims. She said Georgia peaches are the sweetest, and he replied, it's peach-eating season.
It is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Jenna Sims is his girlfriend.
Okay, there you go.
That's established, well-established, according to Google.
Now, Jim Murray was the first one with this Brooks Koepka tipping story, but he didn't necessarily want to reveal his sources. But he knew what was going on, and he tweeted about this, I believe, on Monday.
Huh.
Or maybe Tuesday. It was early in the week. He was here well ahead of time, and he was in there, as you said, Beetle, in that story.
Yeah.
He's been here for a while.
Saturday night and Sunday night last weekend.
Playing big and tipping big, and Jim Murray had it. And in Jim Murray's tweet, he just said that, you know, a certain PGA Tour superstar in there tipping, you know, six figures at the Encore. And all I said at the time was, well, it's safe to say it's not Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar is the guy who stiffed his caddy down in Mexico after he won over $1 million.
Right.
And gave him $5,000 and said, you know, thanks, pal.
Thanks, pal. Why don't you go home, do your laundry.
They stay downtown, right? They stay at like the Four Seasons. I think Tiger stayed there, I think.
I think it's kind of like football. I think a lot of them stay down Providence, too.
No kidding. Yeah, there's some nice hotels in Providence. It's real nice.
You know, they're down in Norton. Yeah. So,
Norton's a poke from Boston.
Now, I don't know where he's staying. Probably they may have come to.
Do you know where the course is? Have you been there?
Where TPC? I played.
Yeah. Oh, you have.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Do you think Encore has comped him a room at this point?
Oh, I think they're taking care of him. Yeah, no, I think he's all
maybe,
set there.
Maybe giving him a voucher for the noodle bar.
Uh huh. He's probably had a steak or two since he's been there on the house.
How would you like a free breakfast? Oh, they'll set me up. Oh,
what's that? Prime? What's the name of the steakhouse there? Prime? Is that the one?
Rare.
Mm-hmm. How do you like it? What's that? Mickey Blue Eyes. How do you like your steak? Rare.
So there's a good story. There's a good story. Brooks Koepka taking care of the people at
That's
Encore.
Great story.
Yeah, I really love that story.
There you go.
I love it for the fact, too, Beetle. I think you're right. I don't think he's tipping out a percentage of his winnings. If he's tipping out 80 grand. I don't think he won 800,000 playing blackjack. Maybe he did, but I think it's probably more along the lines of him winning 150,000, maybe, or maybe not winning at all. Who knows?
Yeah.
The guy has won like four majors, I think, in the last 2.5 years. So he's doing well money wise.
And he's a top 10 guy, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
He's got a little coin. Good for him.
Wasn't he challenging Brady during the Brady Manning thing to make shots and he'd donate money?
I think he was.
He was one of those guys,
yes, chiming in.
Just throwing money around.
Yeah, well, he's spending it. Let's get to the Red Sox. Couple of items. As I said, we don't like to talk about them currently. We don't like to talk about the current team or current season, but we do enjoy talking about their future.
Yes.
We do enjoy small things here and there. We'll get to the Red Sox and Xander Bogaerts next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
No, just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swinging a high fly ball down the line. Driven.
Get out of here.
Baleka back to the wall, leaping up. Can't get it. It's gone. Xander Bogart strikes number 5 to put the Red Sox in front 3-0.
What an easy swing that was. You know, it's just a very easy, lazy fly ball that leaves the ballpark.
I saw a tweet from John Tomasi yesterday.
Yeah.
And he retweeted it again. He's put out his story that he's written about Xander Bogaerts, saying trading Bogaerts would be a massive mistake for the Sox. That's at NBC Sports Boston. Here's tweet when he tweeted out the story. He said, I'm not saying you should storm Fenway Park if the Red Sox deal Xander Bogaerts before his no trade protection kicks in on September 6th. But I'm not saying it either. Why trading the all-star shortstop would be borderline unforgivable. I am saying storm Fenway Park, kick in the door,
that's
and show everybody the way out.
Yeah.
And if you feel the need to burn the place to the ground, go for it. Oh, because if you trade Xander Bogaerts, it is unforgivable. It is not borderline unforgivable. It is unforgivable.
There's no way they do it.
And it is a complete... It would just be quitting. It would be throwing in the towel. It would be giving up on everything with this team. And so, obviously, I don't mean that literally. Just so everyone knows.
No, but I think that would really make it would make you really hate Bloom.
Then you could say,
okay, now he has control of this of what to do from this point moving forward.
I'm saying that
right?
Figuratively, everyone. Yes. Here's what Alex Speer writes about how Heim Bloom could still field a competitive team in 2021. And I said yesterday's, I know you weren't here. John Henry medals. John Henry will tell him to put together a competitive team because the Red Sox, in their ownership history, have not sucked 3 years in a row. Yep. They don't do it. Here's what it says. What does it mean for 2021? Does the team anticipate a return to contention next year, writes Alex Speer. The idea of fielding a credible team next season isn't as far-fetched as many may make it seem based on the current record. There are still a number of building blocks, starting with Xander Bogaerts. Thank you. It starts there. And Rafael Devers, whom Bloom described as core players, along with Alex Verdugo and, if healthy, pitchers Chris Sale and Eduardo Rodriguez. In the big picture, despite this start, we know we have a very talented core, said Heim Bloom.
I'd even keep Vasquez in there.
To a lesser degree.
Yeah, but I mean, he's below those guys, obviously.
He's got a great contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a good value piece there. Okay, go ahead.
He writes, on top of that, this offseason may present significant opportunities for a club to upgrade numerous areas on the roster. Teams having lost significant revenue while playing in a reduced schedule without fans. It's possible that the offseason market will be flooded with a number of solid players who are traded or released in cost-saving moves. If that occurs, and if they're willing to spend, a team such as the Red Sox could protect its prospects while still upgrading the big league roster by signing a number of veterans to short-term deals. In essence, such a strategy would serve as a form of bridge building that buys time for talent to develop in the farm system. There's a potential dual-track approach available of reinforcing next year's big league team while continuing to give the team a stronger long-term base of prospects. The Sox employed such a strategy to brilliant effects after their last place finish in 2012. They signed a bunch of veterans to short-term deals. And then they went on to win the World Series. And they didn't give up any of their prospects. Those guys at that time were Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr. All of those guys were a big part of 2018. 5 years later, they can do that again. Alex Speer has this right. They can pursue veterans and free agency for next year. They can protect the younger players on their roster. They don't have to gut the thing. They don't have to quit. And they can also still continue to build the farm system. They can do both. And as long as we get to August 31st, I am counting down the days. They're going to reset that CBT, and we're going to be in good shape here in Boston, people.
Whole Yankees-Mets series.
I just saw that. So the Subway Series this weekend has been canceled.
What happened?
Yankees-Mets. How many positive tests are they dealing with? Do they know? It seems like we were going to get to that date, but it would be so 2020 and so baseball for the whole thing to come unraveled over the course of 2 or 3 days. Wouldn't it just be baseball for that to happen?
New York's open for business, right?
So they had to cancel out the series this weekend.
Great.
We got to get to that date. We need to get there because if you get there, the CBT resets. Red Sox will have money to spend. They can sign veterans. They can be as a big, big market team with money. And not only that, the guarantee that when they open their doors again, whenever that may be at Fenway Park, the place will be sold out every night. They know that about their club. Other teams don't know that. Other smaller markets where the team doesn't historically mean as much don't know that. They don't know what the other side of this looks like. The Red Sox do. They'll always still be the Red Sox. People will always go watch them.
Don't make your fans feel that they're stupid. You know, like they're good baseball fans here. There are good baseball fans here. Don't try to pull the wool over their eyes. but doing something.
Don't kick everybody in the nuts by trading Xander Bogaerts. How's that sound?
Right.
We don't need that.
Need a couple guys like that.
Don't
just one.
Do that.
Yeah.
It will be unforgivable if they do that.
So that's interesting. Yankees, so the Subway Series is canceled. Then it makes you start thinking about the travel, right?
So what's two guys, it's only two positive tests, and they canceled the series.
Abundance of caution, it says.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's good because they're protecting the season now.
Yeah.
They're not going to let a team end up with 17. Or
be a lot of doubleheaders down the road, huh? Yeah.
Yes, they are. Oh, Seven-inning doubleheaders.
That's good.
Two positive tests in the Mets, and the series has been postponed. Okay, an abundance of caution. We like caution. Just get to that trade deadline. Eric in Dartmouth on the Red Sox. Eric.
Hi, I was calling in when I started you talk about the Red Sox, and I think that comparison to what they did in 2013 is the perfect example because they still had Mookie and Jackie and Bogaerts, younger guys, homegrown guys, but they were able to piece it together with the one-term deals of Johnny Gomes and the guys like that.
Shane Victorino, another one.
Yeah.
All those guys. I mean, I just feel like the way the Sox are, there's no reason they should ever be in this spot. I mean, they're in the unique position where they can constantly outbid teams in free agency, and it's just their own fault for not being able to develop pitching. I think that's where, if they could develop pitching, then there's no reason they should ever have years like this. That's it.
I'm with you. I'm with you on this. The downs and the down years for the Red Sox, the lows, should never have to be this bad. It should never suck to this degree. And in 2013, they felt that. They felt that in 2012. It was a freaking disaster with Bobby Valentine here.
Yeah.
And in 2013, they got Napoli. They've got
Napoli.
Victorino. They've got Johnny Gomes. They plug in some veterans. They complement the roster, and away they go. To the tune of a World Series, to winning it all. Yes, did it come out of nowhere? Was it unexpected? Sure. But they were expected to be a decent team again. I'm not saying you're going to win the World Series next year. I'm saying don't trade your guys. Add some players into the mix. And don't be so terrible.
And bullshit pitching. The pitching part is the part that drives you nuts. You know, and you couldn't expect what was going to happen with E-Rod. Chris Sale, you know, that eventually happened. And, you know, that's a guy I don't know if you can trust injury-wise moving forward. You hope so.
So I think he'll be better once he's healthy, but I think you got to give that
most of those guys
a
are
full year and a half.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you can't rush. I think the biggest point is you can't rush that guy back to make sure he's right when he comes back. But I think you thought the lineup would hit.
T-Bone, why don't you say these things on the air?
What?
I can't stand this about T-Bone. He's got to get over this.
What is it?
He says great stuff in my ear and not on the air.
So would that be the most impressive championship?
So if they win it all next year, would it be the most impressive ever in the history of Boston?
What if they found
sports?
A way to get in it?
I don't know, but if the Bruins win this year, it's going to be hard to have to, you know, outdo them next year.
Well, Hardy was so impressed with 2013.
I was.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
He was.
That's as we all there. Should
it's
be.
High ranking. It's a high ranking, impressive one.
Yeah. And I put that one up there.
I don't
have
know.
Have you seen this yet, Zoe? The new graphic? You were here for were
oh,
here?
Jesus, no.
Oh, you weren't here for
it's terrifying,
like
isn't
an
it?
Alien. Well, it does look like you. It resembles you.
It is.
You realize it's not me, right?
No, it's, it is you.
What's with the sunglasses?
Who cares? It works.
Is it Pat Patriot on Blade's face?
No,
what is
Fryer.
It?
It looks like the PC Fryer.
Oh.
On the head of the Bruins mascot. It
looks like an alien monkey.
But he went to Northeastern.
But it doesn't matter. He looks like T-Bone.
T-Bone looks like
it requires so much explanation.
No. They got this so wrong. What you got to do is you got to get that big lumberjack guy outside a tire place.
Yeah, I thought it was the Steelers mascot.
You are Steely McBeam.
I would say that T-Bone also shares a resemblance with the UMass mascot, Sam the Minuteman.
He sure does.
He looks very much like Sam.
It's that big forehead that you could show a movie off.
And just blockhead.
Right. Like if the Mendon twin drive-in or, you know, say Andy Wong up there at the Kowloon, if they have issues with those stackable crates and you can't show movies, you get T-Bone up there and put one right off his forehead. Just sit down right there, Tom, in that chair. We're gonna show Grease tonight.
That's not nice. That's not a nice thing to say about a person.
Was my funny? It was funny.
Big forehead.
Okay. Let's see.
All right. Artie has headlines.
Oh yeah. Come on, give it to me.
We'll talk to Bruce Arena coming up. At 12:50, Hardy and Zoe's experience at Gillette Stadium yesterday and what that could mean for fans if they make it into the building at some point. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Consider them part of your benefits package.
It was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yesterday,
dance.
So is it practice?
Yep.
And gave us a little bit of insight into the precautions being taken at Gillette Stadium. Don't forget, there's two teams operating in and around the stadium right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the Patriots, but the Revs are there too.
They have their own
everything separate, really, facility wise. Like on a regular day, right?
Yeah.
But they had a game inside the stadium last night,
sure,
where Hardy went. You know, Hardy's always covering the Revs. Mr. Revs himself. How was it?
You get to
test. How was it getting in and dealing with everything?
Some new protocols in terms of where to go, where to park, and what entrances. But what struck me was, number one, there was no confusion. There was no... we're not sure what to do. We're not sure where, and not everybody has had the same experience. I understand that. I can only tell you from me. For me, it was very smooth. It was easy to navigate. You know, you just follow the instructions. All you got to do is, you know, fill out a little bit of paperwork ahead of time and then, you know, hopefully download the Gillette Stadium app and take the wellness test for the day and then show up and then get your temperature checked and hand in your forms and show them the screenshot of your wellness check for the day and put your wristband on that shows that you've been checked. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but it's like boom, 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 boom. And I mean, I'm not great at like, you know, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. I managed to do it, and I got in, and it was safe, and everybody's wearing masks, and there weren't a lot of people there in terms of staff and support and everything, enough, you know, for the game to go off and to do the game presentation for TV and radio and all that. What struck me was if they try to expand this in terms of, you know, the number of staff that it would require for
a football game day.
Football game day where you're going to have much more media there. Much more in terms of stadium staff, and don't even think about the fans right now, because I don't think if this is what they're doing from a stadium level, from a team level, from an organizational level, to get everybody who is going to be in there, you know, assured of a healthy environment. Don't even think about the fans for the first month, which of course we're not, but now I understand why. After seeing what is being done to ensure the safety of everybody who goes in there, even in an open air facility. Now, we were in open air. We were in the KSP studios, but the dividers up like counter to ceiling, you know, more so than what we have in here. And everybody involved with it doing the same thing. I get it. It's a bit much to think that they could do it and introduce even 20% of a stadium capacity right now. If you want to have the argument, is this all really necessary? Don't even have that argument, because that's what they're doing. So you can rail about it as much as you want, but as long as that's what they're doing, don't even think about having, oh, they could have fans there. Not if this is what everyone is going to be required to do to get in. Mm-hmm. And I assume at some point, if fans are going to be back in, there's probably going to be different protocols for fans versus media or staff or personnel. But it's still a lot. It's a lot that goes on there, and that's what they have deemed necessary and appropriate. And It was a great working environment, and Zoe, I know that you had even more stuff going on with yours, but for me, I felt fine about it, felt safe about it, ran smoothly.
Yeah.
There's not good. You can't do it with fans, though, and that's part of the thought process, I'm sure.
You'd almost have to have like an external station way outside the showcase live to where fans would have to clear that, and then it would have to go to another one because you can't have everybody converge on one entrance or two entrances. That'd be tough. You know, staging to where, okay, you get to clear this group, next group and clear. And I think that's part of that whole pod process maybe that they're talking about. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, it just brought more clarity to me to yesterday about, you know, I'm like, hey, football, you just got to play in college. You just got to go. Like, and I know college football programs are trying to do what the NFL is doing with that. I couldn't imagine what I saw with the NFL yesterday and then interjecting 30,000 students around them and having them tell them go be normal and then come back and get ready to practice like that. That's how these kids would get sick. That's how it's transmitted when these kids go back to school, whether it's at North Carolina, down in Alabama. You get there first weekend, they're heading out to bars. And they say don't go to bars, right? Do not go to bars. I've been to a bar, but it's like outdoor bars. And really nobody there. I mean, outdoor bars even right now, even down at Cape and people down here, even around Quincy, Marina Bay, it's not like overpopulated. You're spaced even out when you're out in the open at these outside places. They have enough spacing there. I think everybody's been following the proper protocol here. Down south, it doesn't look like that.
Down south looks like a train wreck.
I mean, they got people lined up with no masks, just standing in line, door foot to foot, you know, waiting in the hot sun, just waiting to get in a bar, in a inside bar.
Right.
And then they go, and that's how you get the football team sick. That's how Alabama will get sick. And you get people at the Alabama football team that say, you people are stupid. What are you doing? The AD, like, what do you want us not to play? You know, Carolina shut it down. Notre Dame, 8 days into it. We got problems, you know? That's what you're finding out. So that's why yesterday opened my eyes like, college football's got it up against them. I flipped on that. So,
all right. Well,
that's a shame.
I just know that you guys both went there yesterday, and then in talking to both of you, you were like, oh, man, fans are going to be a hard process once we get there.
Well, I don't think the process will be the same for the fans, but think about it in this regard, because Beto, you brought this up last night when I was talking to you. Even if the fans don't have to do any of that stuff, we can assume that employees still will. And if you're going to introduce fans, that exponentially increases the number of employees that you're going to have
that,
there.
That will most certainly still have to go through the process through.
Bingo.
I mean, my God, if you're flying to our state, you have to present a COVID test within 72 hours of being here to prove that you've passed it.
Yeah, there's no enforcement, though.
No, I know there's no enforcement.
We're talking about in a situation where things are enforced.
But that's what I'm saying. And if you're going to enforce fans like that, maybe that's part of it, too. Like, hey, provide proof that you're COVID-free. You know, that would be neat. Be hard to do, but
let me see your papers.
Give me. Let me see your app. Open the app.
Yeah. Let's talk to Bruce Arena.
Yeah. Okay,
head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution.
He was not the head coach last night.
What do you mean?
He was not available to coach that game last night due to a previous incident.
But he's still the head coach of the team.
He's still the head coach of the team. I don't know if he's going to be salty about not being able to be there on the sideline, though, last night.
All right, let's talk to him next.
Get in a fight?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kick it!
No. Welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand.
It's Kelsey's song.
Approaching the 1 o'clock hour here on this Friday. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. Always happy to talk to him. Bruce Arena's with us. Hey, coach, what's up?
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm not salty. I heard your comments before. I'm not a little salty about last night.
Well, how was it watching
Richie
from afar?
How'd Richie do?
Richie didn't do well. We didn't get our 3 points, so we fined him.
Good, good. I think maybe it wasn't entirely his fault, though. Certainly not the fault of the defense. You defended well last night and had all kinds of activity offensively, but just couldn't find the back of the net.
Yeah, you know, actually, we played a pretty good game, and we still have some deficiencies in the attacking third of the field, but some of the things we were doing were very promising, so I was very encouraged by the performance. You know, Philadelphia is, in a lot of people's opinions, one of the best teams in the league, and we certainly gave them everything they could ask for over 90 minutes. And defensively, we've been rock solid. Our new addition, Matt Polster, played well. Our left back, Alex Button, was very good. Kellen Rowe, you know, we had so many good performances. Our center backs were good. Matt Turner made a couple of big saves, so there were a lot of good things about the performance last night. You know, however, you know, we're certainly disappointed not getting the 3 points.
You mentioned Polster making his debut. What were your first impressions of him last night?
I think he did well. He took command of the midfield. His communication was very good. Did an outstanding job defensively, and he's a very good passer of the ball. So we look to have strengthened that position. So that was very encouraging.
Clyde Sims told me last night during the post game that he thought Andre Blake, the keeper from Philadelphia, is right up there with Matt Turner right now in terms of, you know, just talented guys playing that position in the league. How much did his play affect the ability for you guys to score last night? Because on the score sheet, he only had to make, I think, one save, but he seems to be in the right position all the time.
Yeah, he comes off his line very well. He controlled the box and crosses. Yeah, he's an outstanding goalkeeper. There's no question about that. And their center backs played quite well last night and are probably very responsible for the fact that we didn't score a goal.
Coach picked up a midfielder and a forward. Mena, I'm sorry if I pronounce his name wrong, but is it Mena and McNamara?
It's Kakuta Mane.
Mane. Yeah,
Kakuta Mane and Tommy Mac. Tommy McNamara, yeah. And they're two players that are really going to help us in the attacking end of the field. Kakuta's a bit of a speedster, has very good pace, can play wide, prefers being the left side of the field, can play in the right. Tommy McNamara is a very versatile midfielder, and he's got qualities that we don't have. He's technically very good, and he's a very intelligent player, and I think he's going to fit in quite well here. So I'm encouraged by those acquisitions, and I think they're going to help us as we get into the month of September.
Where did you watch the game from last night? Is that hard to do? Not be on the sideline, knowing it's your team?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, despite what a lot of people think, once the game starts, the coaches have very little control of things. Like other sports, you can call a timeout. You can make a lot more substitutions. Soccer, you don't get to do that. You start the game, you have a few minutes at halftime, and you get on with it. So I certainly miss not being on the sidelines, but I have a lot of confidence in our coaching staff. They're very good, and they did a good job with the team last night, and hopefully I'm back on the sidelines for the next game.
Yeah, I mean, you coach so many games. You miss once, not no big deal. It's like me doing a radio show. Like, I wasn't here yesterday. It's like no big deal.
I sat at the midfield. The only thing disappointing was we weren't serving food at Gillette last night or any kind of alcohol or anything. So I just had to sit there with a bottle of water and watch the game.
I know, it was a drag. I sat down there. I didn't even know if I was allowed out of the radio booth down there in the basement there. So we just sat there and watched it on TV. It's going on 100 feet away from us. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to poke my head out in the hallway.
You go out there, they'll throw you in the holding cell downstairs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't need
that. They'll lock
you up. I don't need that.
Well, let's be hopeful that we get this pandemic under control at some point this season we're going to have our fans in Gillette Stadium for the Revolution and Patriots.
That'd be awesome. Can't wait.
That'd be great. One quick question here. Gustavo Bow, he had a couple of nice looks last night and a couple of good chances. Is there anything you can do with him to, I don't know, maybe turn those threads into better finishes and help fill the void left by Carlos Hill since he's had surgery and won't be with you guys for a while?
Well, one of the issues is we're asking Gustavo really to play Carlos's position, which is difficult. Gustavo is more of a goal scorer than he is a playmaker, and we're asking him to do a little bit of both, and that's been challenging. But I think he's putting in a great effort. He's been responsible for a number of good attacking plays in all of our games since Carlos has been gone, and we think the addition of these new players is going to help Gustavo. We can position him close to the goal, and we also think having Polster back in our lineup now is going to help as well. And as we continue to move forward, there's no reason to believe that Gustavo's not going to be positioned to score some goals.
It has been said that MLS is not easy to adjust to, and we've talked with you before about Adam Buxa. How do you feel he's adjusting to MLS, and is he getting comfortable, and will all the games that are coming up sort of help him continue to do that?
He's making progress. You know, last night was a tough night. He's playing against two very good center backs. He had one shot off the post that could have been a difference maker in the game, but it's gonna, you know, it takes a little bit of time, and I think he's making progress. He's doing some things we're asking him to do the right way, so that's encouraging. And hopefully, as is the case with Gustavo, I think Adam's going to get on the score sheet on a regular basis.
All right, Coach. Always good talking to you. Appreciate your time.
Great talking to you, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, welcome
back.
Thanks,
Coach.
See you, Coach.
Welcome back. Thank you.
That is Bruce Arena joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
This one guy.
What we should have asked him, but what? It might be more fun to speculate. What drink would he have had?
He did go to alcohol, didn't he? Say, I think
he said he couldn't have any.
He seems like a beer guy. Like a Bud Light, tall can.
I don't know. I mean,
tall
maybe a good bottle of wine.
In New York.
Maybe a good bottle of wine.
He's a New Yorker. A martini. Manhattan.
A Manhattan, because he's a New Yorker.
Yeah,
he's got to drink a Manhattan.
Yeah, and he also likes the red chowder.
Yep, you know? Yep. Probably likes that red watery chowder, and hangs out at Mickey Mantle's bar down there somewhere. Yep.
Yeah, just like all Bostonians hang out at Cheers.
Exactly. Right. First place I went when I
Bingo.
Got here. You think I'm kidding? First bar I went to ever here, and couldn't be more disappointed.
Ah, you hear the one at Faneuil Hall's closing up?
Did not. There's a lot of bars closing up.
Yeah, saw that. They announced it the other day. It's all done. The replica bar, done.
Terrible.
I went to Cheers. I went to Fenway Park.
Why is it called the Bullfinch and Pub?
617-779-0985. We got a fourth and final hour on the way after these headlines, and it's wide open. We got everything from the week. What do you want to talk about? You tell us. It's
you know what?
Free of scheduled segments.
I got a lot of responses regarding the musical segment. From people.
Oh, let's talk about it then. We'll do it after headlines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.